everyone, to the Carolina Outdoors. Come on in. The listening is fine. The outdoors is all in order, and we're glad that you're joining us on this segment of the program, because this segment of the program, we're mixing a little bit of history with the outdoors this fall with the Charlotte Museum of History. So get your picnic blankets, get your schedule, and get all your preparations in order to saddle up and head over to the Alexander Rock House for a bit of fall reopening. Our guest is education specialist Angel Johnston from the Charlotte Museum of History. Angel, before we talk reopening, let me ask you a little bit about history. History's provided plenty of lessons from all of the good things that have happened in the past over time, but also all of the bad things. And in fact, it's in the news constantly these days, history is, and not necessarily in such a good light. Does that change the way history is being viewed by people, or maybe more importantly, the way history is taught these days by educators just like you?
Well, thank you for having me, Bill. This is a really fun time. For history, I think historians are well aware that the past is full of, you know, uncomfortable moments, because the history is just about human nature. It's just stories about what people did with their lives, and people don't always make the right decisions. And for historians, you know, as professional historians and museum folks and educators, we know that we have to tell people about that, because you can't pick and choose. You can't cherry pick what parts of history you want to tell and what parts of history you can leave out. That's not telling the truth. And so for our museum, it's really important that we talk about everything. You know, we talk about the Rock House and how it was, you know, a really exceptional building for its time. Hezekiah Alexander was extremely wealthy. He helped write the North Carolina Constitution, but he was also a slave owner. And he perhaps wrote in laws that kept, you know, Black people in slavery, and didn't allow, you know, non-landowning white men to vote, those kinds of things. And so, you know, we have to tell every bit of that. Otherwise, we're not telling the truth.
Well, do you think, because of all that's been happening, especially in 2020, I mean, we do have, social, unrest, or mm-hmm. the pandemic, of course, is another thing that's going on. Is this an opportunity for a place just like the Charlotte Museum of History, in a place like Charlotte that, as you know, sometimes Charlotte and the Charlotte area is rich in history, mm-hmm. but sometimes is accused of lacking that celebration of local history. Is 2020 maybe a time that historians and the interest in history is in a renaissance fashion?
I think, you know, the events of the past year, the pandemic and all that it's sort of exposed in terms of economic divisions between us, and then with everything that's going on in terms of racial justice, all of these events have really exposed an opening, a vacuum, where people perhaps are not aware of their history, of their community's history, really on a local level, as it relates to socioeconomic divisions between groups and between people who are different races. And so I think, yes, like, this is absolutely like the time for historians to jump in and say, hey, like, this is not new. And, you know, one of the things, you know, we don't want to call back to history and say, hey, these guys fixed it, we can fix it again, because they didn't fix it, obviously, or else we wouldn't be in the situation where we are. But they can, you know, history has lessons to teach us about how people have come to solutions together and how they've enacted them. And we, you know, living today, have this great privilege of being able to look back into the past and say, like, hey, like, what about this? And we can learn about what they did and use that to help us create more solutions. You know, I see a lot on Twitter and in the news and stuff. And so, you know, hopefully I see a lot of historians who are going on the news and talking to people about, you know, what's happening, you know, the latest, you know, whatever that's happening. And so I hope that that will continue. But I also hope that journalists and the public will also understand that historians are not out there to tell a story a specific way. We're out here to tell history as it happened, because that's what we do. And you know, we wouldn't be historians if we didn't want to talk about everything that happened in the past.
Well, I introduced this as a mix of history and outdoor, and we're gonna delve into that in just a moment with the Hezekiah Alexander Rock House and home site. Mm-hmm. But before we do, I need to actually congratulate you and the museum, because just recently, I think this was announced, $100,000 from Lowe's Home Improvement has come through. And that is for a particular school, the yes. Salome School, which was a school that educated African Americans in this community 100 years ago, 100 plus years ago. Mm-hmm. Before we delve into the reopening, can you speak briefly on the Salome mm-hmm. School and what it is, what it was, and what it has meant to this community in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. So just yesterday we announced this gift from the Lowe's Foundation, which is super exciting for the Save Salome School project. We have been a part of the Save Salome School project since 2014. But our partner groups, Silver Star Inc. and many others, have been involved in saving rural Black schools in and around Charlotte. And there's lots of organizations across the South that do this as well. So Salome School is a Rosenwald era school. It was built probably in the early 1920s. Out, you know, off of what is now Mallard Creek Church Road, which was very country in that time period. And it was a rural Black community. There was a church. Sometimes the church is called Salome. See, we hear that a lot. And there was a neighborhood there, and the school served the Black students who lived there. They were the children of farmers, of, you know, laborers, and it's a one-room schoolhouse. We know sometimes upwards of 60 students were enrolled. Not every one of them attended every single day. And it was basically funded and built entirely by the community in which it was in. The parents and the community members who lived there raised the funds themselves to build this school. They built it based on a national model from the Rosenwald Fund, which your listeners should look up, the Rosenwald Fund. It is an incredible story about Booker T. Washington and his fight for equitable education. And this was, you know, the school was a community space, and we see that a lot with Rosenwald schools. Charlotte had over 20 Rosenwald schools. Today, about 6 or 7 still survive, and, you know, about half of those are in pretty precarious condition, mm-hmm. Including Salome. And so our hope is that we will be able to save the school. We want to move it from where it is off of Mallard Creek Church Road to the museum's campus in East Charlotte and restore it and restore it to what it looked like in the 20s, so that we can take people inside and talk about what life was like in the 1920s during segregation, you know, during segregated education, and talk about what that meant for this community.
Fantastic. Well, your work is cut out for you, but yes. You have a great, great head start with that grant. And and it's going to bring it back to that campus there at 3500 Shamrock, the Charlotte mm-hmm. Museum of History. And if you're just joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors, I'm Bill Bartee, coming in each week to break down different things happening in the outdoors and the people that are helping make these outdoor things happen. And today we have Angel Johnston on. She's the education specialist with the Charlotte Museum of History. The website there is charlottemuseum.org. And a lot of, course, things have been affected. Everything, I guess, has been affected by the pandemic, including the museum. But hey, this is an outdoor program, and reopening the museum is going to involve a little bit of being outside. So we have three different dates coming up with the afternoons on the grounds there at the museum. Will you talk to us, Angel, about how this reopening is going to happen and how we can participate in getting over there to the Charlotte Museum of History?
Sure. Yeah. We are super excited to, you know, finally be able to open our space a little bit safely for our visitors. You know, since being closed in March, it feels like a million years ago. And so, you know, our first phase of reopening is this outdoor experience. We are a Charlotte museum. We're in Charlotte, but we're extraordinarily lucky in that we have about 8 acres of grounds. It's creek. There's a creek that runs through our grounds. We have lots of wooded areas and outdoor space for folks to go into. So the afternoon on the grounds events take advantage of that. So it's one Saturday a month. It's $10 a car. You know, as many people will fit in your car legally. and you can come, and like you said at the top of, you know, at the top of the segment, bring a picnic. We have a, you know, big sort of field. Your kids can run around, let all their wiggles out, and be on the grounds of Charlotte's oldest home site. The Alexander Rock House was built in 1774. It's the oldest and only house that was here prior to the American Revolution. And so included in your ticket is a virtual tour of the Rock House. So you have a guidebook. When you come out, there'll be signs sort of staked along the path and, you know, around the area to tell you about the history of what you're looking at. So you can learn about the Rock House. You can learn about the Alexanders who lived there. You can learn about the enslaved people who also lived there and what they did, you know, the types of animals and the types of plants that were grown or raised. And it just, you know, it's a fun way to spend an afternoon.
I think it's going to be a great way to spend the fall and the beginnings of winter out there mm-hmm. on the grounds. And of course, it's recommended that you get tickets in advance. And of course, yes. That's over at charlottemuseum.org /events. But then, hey, head on over there and learn a little bit about history. Again, the dates are the October 24th, November 21st, and December 5th. And this is part of the reopening afternoons on the grounds of the Charlotte Museum of History. And Angel Johnston's talking to us a little bit about it, educational specialist from the museum. But Angel, it's like one of those cable commercials. Wait, wait, but there's more. And part of it is one of the programs, besides this one, Afternoons on the Grounds, that's going on. Mm-hmm. There's also an Indigenous Peoples Week that's going to be coming up a little bit later in the fall. In partnership with the Catawba Nation. And just for our listeners of the Carolina Outdoors to know, this is a whole nother grouping of our area's fabulous mm-hmm. and rich history. And that's going to be taking place. But for everyone out there who loves the outdoors, this particular one is going to be all digital. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I think you know, if you had asked us a year ago, we would never have been able to fathom. but we, you know, we when the pandemic happened, we had to pivot all of our events to virtual events. And it has forced us to really think creatively about how we do our programming at the museum. You know, we were very much concentrated on single day on-site programming. We can't bring 1,000 people onto the museum's grounds anymore, you know, at this time. So the Indigenous Peoples Week will be an online event, you know, I would say event in quotation marks. And so every day that week, starting November 9th, we'll be sharing video content. So it'll be, some of it's pre-recorded, some of it will be live, but it'll all be about the history of the Catawba in this area and Indigenous people in this area. So, you know, we're going to the Catawba Nation, we're going to talk about pottery, and we're going to talk about their how their pottery skills have transitioned from, you know, utilitarian in the prehistory and up to the 18th century to the art form that it is now. We're going to be talking about like spears and, you know, points and that kind of thing, you know, hunting. And all of this happens mostly on our Facebook page and on our YouTube channel. And it'll all be linked on our website. So if you go to charlottemuseum.org, you find the tab that says digital learning. There'll be like a box there that'll say Indigenous Peoples Week. So if you're not on Facebook or you don't want to have to search us out on YouTube, you can just go there every day and a new episode basically will be uploaded on our website for people to watch. It's a great way, I think, for folks to sort of engage with history on their own time. You can certainly go and watch these outside if you want.
I like your style. Yes.
And then it'll, excuse me, it'll be up really, you know, forever. And so you can go back and watch anything that you missed. We're really excited to be able to work with the Catawba Cultural Center this year to talk about their long history in this area and what they're doing today. You know, the Catawba Nation still exists. I think technically South Carolina claims them, but, you know, mm-hmm. I think in North Carolina we can claim them too, especially in Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. And you know, what are they doing and how has their culture really survived these thousands and thousands of years and adapted to be what it is now? You know, we have this rich resource, and this is our way of sharing it with everybody.
Fantastic. Well, that's just one of the things going on. And again, a reminder to all of our listeners, not only that, especially if you're a parent or grandparent supplanting digital education that many mm-hmm. of children are going through, that's one opportunity, as well as the reopening with the outdoor tours. So make this schedule there, Saturday, mm-hmm. October 24th, November 21, and December 5, from noon to 5, afternoons on the grounds at the Charlotte Museum of History. And again, for more information, you heard Angel say it, charlottemuseum.org. Angel Johnston, education specialist from the Charlotte Museum of History, thank you so much for being on the Carolina Outdoors.
Thank you for having me. It's been a fun time.
We're going to take a quick break. Be back with more after these messages.